Six Aboriginal experts and advocates have come together to write about the need for innovative government action in the native goods industry to ensure Indigenous people can better lead and access the benefits from their traditional foods and knowledge. However, increased commercialisation of Indigenous knowledge is happening without genuine community engagement, with cases of unauthorised use of Indigenous art, language and symbols in the branding of products, which often misleads consumers. The Wire's Sean Dorado asked lead author Dr. Luke Williams about the dangers of commercial companies exploiting native food knowledge without adequate involvement of the Indigenous community.
I wouldn't say that it's particularly a danger, but it's more an absolutely a missed opportunity. And what I mean by that is the native food industry for our mob, for Aboriginal people, provide a great opportunity to connect with culture, our plants, our knowledge systems, all while being able to work on country. Aboriginal people are able to operate there and then be in jobs. So there is this economic opportunity as well that involve all of these cultural elements that Aboriginal people have, you know, worked with for thousands of years. So I suppose without the genuine engagement or without Aboriginal people leading industry, we see non-Indigenous businesses really taking, you know, capitalising on these knowledge systems without really truly any benefits going back to Aboriginal people. And this actually ends up then siphoning a lot of resources or potential funds or granting opportunity away from these businesses that may want to operate in the space. I've even spoken to community members from various communities at different times who have talked about their desire to develop some of their traditional foods. They identify foods that may have maybe nutritionally superior to commonly consumed foods or have functional attributes that would probably market really well. But these communities are worried to produce these foods or bring them out into the open because they're worried then they'll be outcompeted by bigger businesses who have more capital to produce it cheaper, have more available land. So that's kind of where the industry's at right now.
In what ways are the protections afforded to Indigenous knowledge insufficient today? And what are some of the important steps the government can take to address that?
So from my understanding, the current legal systems within Australia and most Western systems don't actually offer the protection that we need in this space. The IP system, for example, prioritises individual ownership, whereas a lot of Aboriginal knowledge systems are collective by nature. So there's actually nothing stopping non-Indigenous businesses or operators coming in. And this extends as far as you see non-Indigenous businesses currently using, say, Aboriginal artwork on their branding, on their on their packages, which is, you know, somewhat deceptive. There's nothing stopping them from doing that, but it does make the consumer or maybe think that it is an Aboriginal-led product. But I think there are other mechanisms that, you know, the paper talks about and we would like to explore more deeply. And these aren't my ideas. There's other researchers that have looked into this more deeply, but the certification mark idea, you see, for example, fair trade coffee has the fair trade label. Yeah. So something along these lines that says, you know, this is a certified and, you know, legitimate product that comes from an Indigenous value chain.
And could you elaborate more on the benefits that greater access to this industry can have for Indigenous communities and, like, you know, young Indigenous entrepreneurs?
I think absolutely. That's such an important point and a really, like, big point that I try and get across a lot in this is we are seeing in especially rural and remote communities where, you know, a lot of this knowledge or a lot of knowledge still exists and wasn't so impacted by colonization. There's a lot of knowledge systems there, but younger generations, I mean, I grew up in the country. I understand there's not much economic opportunities in these rural and remote areas, but something like a thriving native food industry would give, well, would hopefully inspire more younger generations to stay on country, to work with their elders, to learn knowledge around caring for country, including the plants, learning the knowledge around preparation, consumption, all of this that has been done for centuries by Aboriginal people. You know, knowledge was passed on through practical means and through different cultural expressions. And we're losing a lot of that because it's kind of, you know, being seen as old knowledge and the rest of the world is kind of moving on. So I think there is an opportunity there for this economic opportunity that is also driven and grounded in, like, these cultural elements that are so important for Aboriginal people. And then I want to stress as well that I'm not saying that this industry should be Indigenous-led only. There is space for non-Indigenous businesses. And if I can just elaborate on that a bit more, I think... A lot of the, when we talk about the rural and remote communities, these communities or even most Aboriginal people do not have the capital or the infrastructure to actually set up and run a big business to commercialize and sell products. You know, it takes branding, it takes marketing, and this is where we really need to see businesses, you know, creating good engagement, maybe access and benefit sharing agreements going back. buying supply from these Indigenous businesses and supporting them to upscale their supply. So there is definitely a place for that as well. And there are businesses that are doing this. There's more businesses that aren't.
Dr. Luke Williams from the University of Queensland talking to The Wire's Sean Dorado.